Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Bennington, Vermont. This talk, delivered on Sunday, February 11th, 2024, is by the Reverend Barbara Threat on the topic of I'm Sorry on Apologies.
I'm really sorry about missing our lunch date yesterday. I feel horrible about it. I could barely sleep last night. I just can't believe I did something so stupid and so insensitive. I'm so embarrassed. I can't even begin to express how badly I feel about it. Regrettable mistakes were made, and corrective measures are being taken to prevent a recurrence. I'm sorry if what I said was hurtful to you. That really wasn't my intention. But while I know you love that dress, that color really doesn't flatter you, and that style doesn't do a thing for you either, and somebody had to tell you. I regret what happened at that committee meeting a week ago. It really was unfortunate. It's probably best to just forget it and move on. Mom says I have to apologize for breaking that stupid thing of yours, so I'm sorry. None of these are very effective apologies. In fact, they're barely apologies at all. There is an art to saying, I'm sorry, effectively. At the Rutland Church, one of the items in their auction every year is the right to pick a topic that I have to create a sermon on. And this is a variation on the topic that someone gave me, which is talk about apologies. It's been an interesting endeavor. There is an art to saying, I'm sorry, effectively. The question of how we set things right about blundering has been a fascinating one, and it's one that we all deal with for all of our lives. We apologize for several reasons. Usually it's because we realize that we messed up. We did something that we know caused some disappointment or pain or anger or some other angst to someone else. Apologizing indicates that you value the relationship enough so you want to set it right, or the relationship is important enough so that it's prudent to set it right. The second thing to realize about apologies is that it often leaves us feeling very vulnerable. An apology acknowledges that you did something which hurt someone. You fell short. You're acknowledging that you're fallible. You're showing your vulnerability. Doing that is often very uncomfortable, and sometimes it's risky. That other person could consider your apology to be some proof that you're flawed or untrustworthy or less worthy than they are. They could even use their mistake against you later or reject your apology. You're taking a risk when you say, I'm sorry. The third thing to recognize is that the one apologizing quite likely is hoping for some sort of forgiveness or absolution. We would love to be reassured that what we did really wasn't as bad as we feared. That may or may not happen, which just enhances our feeling of vulnerability. The need for apologies is inevitable. Every single one of us will blunder, probably frequently. Every one of us will be blundered against. So exploring how and why we apologize and how we handle apologies from others is a topic that will touch every one of our lives. There have been at least 24 books written about apologies just in the past decade, and more articles than I can count, with a variety of opinions. But most of them agree that it's pretty easy to make a pretty pathetic apology. We heard some examples. We'll start with those examples that I read a few minutes ago. What's wrong with them? That first one. I'm really sorry about missing our lunch date. I feel horrible. I could barely sleep. I felt so stupid and insensitive. It's all about me. I am all but begging you to say, good grief, it's not that big a deal. I barely acknowledge that I upset you. I'm trying to get you to sympathize with me so much that you'll let me off the hook. An effective apology focuses on how the other person feels or how they were affected. It recognizes their angst, and it doesn't use yours to try to wiggle out of what happened. The next one. Regrettable mistakes were made and corrective measures have been taken. Sounds about as vague as it could possibly be. It acknowledges absolutely nothing and it promises absolutely nothing. It's actually quite common in the corporate world, but we do it too. What was the mistake, you might ask? Was it to send you the wrong color sweater? A data breach that released the personal information of millions of people? Or a door blew off a plane? You can't tell. regrettable mistakes. And as for the corrective measures, what does that mean? A change in policy? A whitewash? Acknowledging that there was something that happened? An effective apology is specific. It takes ownership of what happened. I or my company made this mistake, clearly defined. And here are the specifics of what we're doing to rectify it. Then next one. I'm sorry if what I said was hurtful to you. It wasn't my intention, but the color is awful. The style is horrible. You're sorry if what you said was hurtful? Are you kidding? And then you repeat it with emphasis? When you're not really not sure if you offended another person, ask. And if you know you did, don't use the word if. And for heaven's sakes, don't use the apology to compound the harm that's already been done. One author referred to that as a poisoned apology, which contains yet another hurtful comment inside of it. I'm really sorry for what happened to that committee meeting a week ago. It really was unfortunate. It's probably best to just move on, though. It took you a week to mention this. And how do you know that you and I remember that meeting in the same way? Why am I making a half-hearted effort when I'm also making it clear that I'm not open to any discussion of what happened? It sounds like the point of that apology is to assure yourself that you tried, without having to deal with whatever happened. If I know that I was part of what happened, I need to admit it and work to set it right. Maybe even apologize to the whole committee. And if I want to address something that I probably didn't cause, then the I'm sorry makes no sense. It would be a lot clearer to say, that meeting last week is really still troubling me. How did it feel to you? And the last example. Mom says I have to apologize for breaking your stupid thing, so I'm sorry. My mother was good at saying we had to things like that. She was probably trying to teach us to admit it when we blundered. But that is so not the way to do it. The tone makes it very clear. You're not sorry at all, except maybe you're sorry for being caught or being forced to make this stupid apology. It would have been a lot wiser for my mom to have instructed me to say, I'm going to have to give you my allowance for the next 3 weeks to pay for that stupid thing I broke. But it would at least be honest. Try to reserve the word sorry for when you really are feeling sorry. Apologizing greases social relationships, but only if it's sincere. In their book, Getting to Sorry, Marjorie Engel and Susan McCarthy suggest that an effective apology has 6 steps. Well, 6 and a half, really. The half being applicable to every step. The first is to start by saying you're sorry. Not that you regret what happened, which is a statement about what you feel, but you're sorry for what happened to the other person. And you admit the damage that you did, whether it was intentional or not. You may get around to expressing your own emotions, but start with sorry. I am sorry for what I did, not I feel sorry. I'm sorry for hurting you. Focus on the other person's feelings and responses, and not on your own emotions. The second is to state exactly what you're sorry for. I was late. I said something unkind. I broke a promise, whatever. If you sense that the other person is upset and you're not sure why, then ask them, maybe even before you apologize. Something like, it seems like you're upset with me and I know I can blunder. Have I done something for which I should apologize? And then listen to their response without defense. You may learn that what upset them isn't what you thought it was. The ultimate purpose of apologizing is to try to repair a relationship. So start by getting clarity as to what needs repairing. And apologize for exactly what you did, not for how you think the other person is feeling. You may not be right. For heaven's sakes, don't say, I'm sorry you feel that way. But I'm sorry I said that thing that upset you. Take responsibility for your own actions. Sometimes that's hard. The third is to show that you understand exactly why what you did was problematic. I forgot to fill the gas tank. Yes. But that resulted in you having to call AAA, which means you were really late to work, which means you were late to a meeting, which means you looked like a flake in front of all your coworkers. I need to show that I realize all of that. It's all part of what was upsetting. If it seems to me that you're reacting more strongly than I would expect to that near empty gas tank, it's worth saying, I'm sorry I forgot to fill the gas tank, but it sounds like you're upset for more than that. What else happened? And then you'll need to really listen to the answer. Even if it seems overly dramatic, even if you disagree, even if you really want to dispute it, just listen, at least for a bit. And the fourth, sometimes, is to offer a very brief explanation, but only if it's really pertinent. Don't make excuses. I'm sorry I didn't do that errand like I promised, but it sounds like there's an excuse coming, and your listener knows that. If the reason truly is relevant, give it a separate sentence, not with a but. I'm sorry I didn't do that errand. When I got there, the store was closed due to a broken water pipe. It starts by acknowledging that you didn't do what you said you would, period, end of sentence. And then the next sentence provides the reason, but it's after you've apologized that you didn't run the errand. And then it becomes helpful information instead of feeling like an excuse. And the other person can probably hear it. The fifth step in effective apology is to reassure that this won't happen again, that you've taken steps to correct the situation, that you're aware that you're hurtful and won't try to repeat it, and be realistic about your promise. You probably can't guarantee that you'll never, ever, ever be late again. But you can acknowledge that you know being late is really upsetting to the other person, and that you'll try harder to avoid that in the future. And sixth, if it's appropriate, offer reparations. Sometimes that's part of the deal, and sometimes it's not necessary. And through all of these, one of the most important things is to listen. Give the other person space to respond and pay attention to what you hear, maybe even especially if you don't like what you hear. The point of an apology is for you to admit a shortcoming, not to incite a battle. So don't fight back. You might say, let's talk about this later. And if you're pretty sure in the moment that your words would only exacerbate a situation, leave it and find a different time or a different format or a different way to say you're sorry. So a quick recap before we move on. First, say you're sorry. Be specific about what you did. Show you understand the impact. And if it's pertinent, include an explanation, but not an excuse. Fifth, how do you plan to prevent a recurrence? And remember that your subsequent actions are a whole lot more important than what you promise. And sixth, if it's appropriate, offer to make up for it. And through all of this, listen. And now to address some of the wrinkles of apologizing, and there are lots of them. One of the first challenges is what to do when the other person is clearly upset with you and after careful reflection, you really don't know why. Or you do know why they're upset, and you believe that what you did was the right thing, even though it upsets them. And these are quite different situations. We'll look at the last one first. In that situation, there's probably a power differential. It's the parent or the boss or the DMV official that made a decision that has caused some angst for the other person. An apology is, I'm sorry, I is probably not honest. You're not sorry about the decision. You've thought this through carefully, often with more life experience or corporate information or knowledge of the DMV regulations, and that was the right decision. You stand by it, even though you know it's upsetting. Saying, I'm sorry you're upset, doesn't work either. It was your decision. And the other person can say, well, then stop you and change your mind, and then I won't be upset. You may be genuinely sad at how distressed the other person is, and you can express that. But if you cause their angst and you're not going to change your mind, you'll need to accept that too. What might work rather than some convoluted, not quite apology is just to acknowledge how upsetting this is for the other person and to listen to them carefully. Sometimes it'll help to explain your decision, and sometimes that only makes the conflict worse. So tread gently. You may need to apologize for the way you conveyed your decision or the place you chose to do so. But acknowledging the other person's anguish At least you've kept the door open for some further communication. And there are times when you really aren't sure why the other person is upset. You may have no idea why they're upset. So just ask. A broad, "I'm sorry for whatever I did that upset you," really isn't very helpful. You may be completely off base in what you're assuming that they're upset about. Or they may assume that you're apologizing for something which you didn't mean to apologize for at all. So ask for clarification. "You seem upset. What's going on?" And then listen without being defensive. Apologies and apologizing can certainly become manipulative, especially given the fact that apologizing means you're admitting that you erred in some way. You're temporarily losing face. There's probably some, that's one of the reasons why some well-known figures brag about never apologizing. They simply need to believe that they are infallible and always on top and always right, and no one is that. None of us is always correct or always considerate or always insightful. We're just not, even if we try. A demand for an apology, whether it's spoken or implied, when you really don't think you did anything wrong, may be an attempt to get you to admit that you're more flawed than the other, or that they have power over you. So tread lightly. You owe apologies when you've erred, but you don't owe apologies just to prop up somebody else's ego. And if it's you who's demanding an apology, check your own motivation. Is it really to clear the air? Is it to establish your dominance or even heighten the conflict? What do you hope the apology that you get accomplishes? Be clear on your own motivation. It can be especially frustrating when you tell someone that when you can tell someone's upset and you really don't have any idea why. You may come up with a long list of possibilities in your mind, but you may be completely wrong, and it's important to remember that. It'll be so much more useful if you just ask. One of the challenges in asking why the other person is upset is they may respond with an angry, "You know what you did." I suspect most of us have heard that. Some of us have probably said it. All you can do is to say that you honestly don't know exactly what's upset about this moment, and you'd really like to know, especially if there's something you can do to set it right. And be sure that you don't throw that "you know what you did" at someone else. It's never helpful. Many situations that require apologies are straightforward. "I just dropped a heavy book on your foot and you're screaming in pain. I know what I did. I know what to apologize for." Sometimes it's really clear. And sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's really complicated. "I'm sorry I lied to you," for example. "Almost certainly I lied to hide something big." Perhaps it's news that someone thinks the other person can't handle or that I'm not ready to sit with. Maybe it's a job offer that would mean a major move or a diagnosis that you're not ready to share. Perhaps the lie is to cover up something that you know will really upset the other person, even something you fear could sever the relationship. You've mismanaged money or had an affair or started drinking again. There are big, big things which can eventually result in someone saying, "I'm sorry I lied," and that's rarely sufficient. "I'm sorry I lied" is always dipping your toe into an ocean. And once you have tipped your toe in, you can't avoid the ocean. It might be better to start with, "I've been lying to you. I wanted to hide this thing." Or, "I've been hoping you wouldn't find out." Or, "I knew how angry and disappointed you'd be, so I've been lying about it. I don't even know where to start to tell you about this or how to apologize and set it right. I've been wrong in a lot of ways, and I want to start by being honest with you." If you're making that kind of an apology, pick your place and your time carefully. It won't be short. It won't be easy. If you're assuming that if you can do all that and the other person will say you feel bad about it, it's no big deal, that's probably not true. You may eventually get to several apologies, maybe on both sides. But starting such a conversation and navigating the ocean will probably not be easy. Listening will help, and apologizing sincerely and then changing in response may help. Honest apologies in both words and actions will be necessary. You may have noticed that one of the things I haven't mentioned at all in framing an apology is the ending. Often it's, "Will you forgive me?" which really can put the other person on the spot. If you know I accidentally dropped that book that just broke your toe, you probably can say, "I know you didn't mean it." But ending your apology with, "I hope we can repair this situation," or "I really value this relationship, and I hope that in time you can forgive me," leaves space for the other person to ponder your apology and your subsequent behavior, especially if the apology is for something that you both consider to be something big. You're the one in error. Give the other person time to process your apology, or maybe even frame their own. This takes us to the question of how to respond to an apology. Often the apology is enough and you're happy to forgive and move on. And I should mention that not all apologies come with words. Some are the traditional gift of a flower that says, "Here, I blew it. I hope you feel better." And sometimes that's sufficient. But that's not always the case. Perhaps the words sound sincere, but experience tells you that probably nothing will change. And the words are just a panacea. Or perhaps the thing that happened made you aware that this isn't the relationship you thought it was. You may not want to continue at all, but if you do, you want it in a different form. If the relationship includes substance abuse or physical or emotional abuse, it's unlikely that an apology will change anything, sadly. Those words may be heartfelt, but there's underlying things that will make it very hard for change to happen. So you may need time to reflect and see what comes next before you decide how to respond to an apology. An apology is never a magic wand. It doesn't instantly make everything all right. It doesn't turn back the clock. And it doesn't automatically bring a reconciliation. Psychologist Robert Enright, in his book, The Forgiving Life, draws a distinction between forgiving and reconciliation. Forgiving, which often includes accepting an apology, means letting go of your anger or your hurt or your desire for revenge. It's not eating at you anymore. You can let it go. Often that means moving back into relationship with the one who apologized, but not always. There may be times when whatever happened is such that you realize this isn't a relationship you want to continue, or you want to resume it in a very different way. You'll certainly be civil, maybe even friends. But you'll never confide in that person again. Part of taking the time to ponder an apology is deciding whether you want a reconciliation, especially when the breach has been significant or part of a pattern. Forgiving is wise, if you can possibly do so. It's better for your own mental and emotional health by a long way not to cling to hurts and disappointments, not to let that hurt become something that defines you. But reconciliation may not always be wise. It's prudent to assess who you can trust and what relationships are healthy. And sometimes receiving an apology presents an opportunity for making that reassessment. There may be times when you offer a heartfelt, carefully crafted apology which the other person rejects, either in the moment or by withdrawing from you, and these are really hard. You've made yourself vulnerable by offering an apology, and it's being rejected. Our fourth principle affirms, see which wall it's on, affirms that each person has a quest for truth and meaning. And if another person's truth is that they want distance, that can feel really bad. Remember that the change may involve factors that you don't know as well as what you did. You might try to apologize again later or change your behavior to demonstrate your sincerity. But at some point, you may need to just accept that decision. Maimonides, the 12th century Jewish rabbi and philosopher, suggests that after apologizing three times and doing your best not to repeat whatever was hurtful, if the other person refuses to accept your apology, it may be time to move on. Not accepting is their right. Another person may choose to distance themselves from you just as you may choose to distance yourself from someone else. And apologies, offered or received, don't always result in what the one who apologized had hoped for. There are many other aspects that could be explored, of course. But often the most important aspect of giving an apology or accepting one has very little to do with the exact words that are used in the moment. All those can help or hinder the process. But in the long run, what matters most is actions. The best crafted apology means very little if nothing changes. Perhaps it's a behavior that the other person can't change easily. And if addiction is involved, it may be almost impossible to make a change until the addiction is addressed. And even little changes take time. If you've always thrown the towel on the floor and it's always driven your partner crazy, you won't suddenly never throw the towel on the floor again. Don't demand more perfection for someone else than what you can give yourself. But actions can indicate that the other person really is trying. And expressing appreciation for those attempts can help almost as much as the apology itself. And a complete lack of action can lead you to decide that you need to distance yourself to some extent or shift your relationship. Then the apology becomes just words. To recap, for you who are apologizing, I'm sorry that I did this or said that or made this mistake. I know it inconvenienced you or disrespected you or hurt you. I don't have any excuse. And if there's really a pertinent, give a reason. Here's what I'll do to make it better or repair what happened. And is there anything that I need to do in particular than that, a particular reparations? And through all of this, listen. Maybe offer some variety of, I hope you can forgive me at the end. But leave the other person time. And most importantly, make sure that your actions bear out the words that you said. And for you who are being apologized to, remember that it's really hard to apologize. And remember, too, that given our human tendency to foibles and mistakes, you're going to be the one apologizing soon enough. So be gracious. That interdependent web of which we are a part is inescapably strong as a whole. But individual strands can be fragile. The willingness to apologize, the graciousness with which we each treat each other's foibles, and the possibility of reconciliation and recreation will help to keep those individual strands strong. May it be so.